When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Heartstopper Season 2 is over, but here on Post Show Recap, we are just getting started. My name is Grace, but of course I'm not alone. I'm here with my co-host, Matt Scott. Matt, how you doing?
I'm happy to be here. A little bittersweet, Grace, because this is our last Heartstopper podcast for a while. Spoilers on that, in case people didn't know.
I know we're in the middle of a writer's strike and an actor's strike, but it has been renewed for Season 3, so it's not like this is, you know, we don't have to worry about the future of Heartstopper at this exact moment. It will be coming back.
Yeah, yeah. In the words of somebody famous, we'll be back. See, that's a very, like, timely reference.
That's good. Yeah, it's only from a movie that's like 30 years old. That's great.
And this is why I'm not on PSR more, but
that's right.
We're not alone, by the way.
Speaking of people who are on PSR, we are joined by a lovely guest. Beth is here. Beth, how are you doing?
I'm doing so well. Thank you so much for having me. I love the Terminator reference. I'll be back. Actually, my family, we are not allowed to say I'll be back without saying it in the Arnold Schwarzenegger accent and timbre to it.
Oh, no.
So, we get yelled at by the other family members. No, you didn't say it properly. Do it again. So I just feel right at home now.
Oh, I thought you were telling me to do it again. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Now, Matt, do it again.
I'll be back.
That's how we'll end the podcast as well. Today, too.
Yeah, we'll
be back. Yeah.
Yes.
We're here to chat about Heartstopper, and specifically through the lens of identity, the theme of identity. So very exciting. This is the final Heartstopper pod, but make sure you're subscribed to the feed so that when we return, you're already subscribed. You don't have to do it later. PushRecaps.com/Heartstopper. We're also in the binge feed because it was dropped on Netflix and it dropped as a binge show. So we're there, PushRecaps.com/binge. And we're in the main feed. And also, if you want to, make sure you're subscribed to all the right PSR podcasts. We drop a lot of podcasts every day in the feed every week. We drop a lot of podcasts. PostShowRecaps.com/subscribe will list all of our current coverage for shows. And you can make sure you subscribe to the ones that you want so you never miss an episode. So make sure you do that. Beth, as I said, I think before we started, this is, I think, our fifth podcast Matt and I have done on Season 2. We did the premiere recap, we did the full season binge, and then we've talked about intersectionality, and we talked about coming out.
Coming out.
The thing we talked about, coming out. So people have heard us ramble on plenty, and we will do so, but I'd like to give you the floor first to talk about your thoughts on Heartstopper, Seasons 1 and Season 2, what you thought, how you found it, all of that good stuff.
Absolutely. I I think this show is just so adorable and so needed, for sure. I literally just binge watched, for the purposes of coming on this show, I was going to say the first two seasons. That's what we have.
Technically, they are the first two.
I did watch both of them over the past week and a half, and I wish whenever I looked around, I could see like the little animated, like little hearts and leaves and such all over the place. It is such an adorable show. I think it's a really great look at what it is like to kind of figure yourself out, but more specifically figure yourself out in a modern world rather than what was it like necessarily when we were that age. For me, I mean, that was a long time ago now, which I mean, will move past. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I am in high school. I don't know if I've been deceiving you all, but I am a high school student.
Oh my god!
I hope that you're revising wells for your GCSEs. But
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
No, I really, really enjoy it, and I absolutely got involved watching this because I was. Many people have been saying, hey, Beth, we would love to hear your thoughts on the Ace storyline, the Arrow storyline. Because for those that don't know, I identify as asexual and demisexual and bi as well. But all of that combined into a pot where I normally don't get to see representation at all. It's really hard to find Ace or Arrow or a gender representation. So that A that is in the LGBTQIA, it's nice to see that representation here. And so just happy to see it with Isaac in particular, who I think is just such a lovely character.
By the way, I just have to shout out your headband, which is phenomenal. I know this is a podcast, but Beth, can you describe your wonderful headband for the listeners?
Of course. It's actually a crown. No, I'm just kidding. It's a headband that says Aces on it, but each of the letters is a different color of the Ace flag. So we have black, gray, white, and purple. And I got it at Austin Pride when I was down visiting some friends a few weeks ago, and it happened to be Pride when I was there, and we walked around and I got the last Aces headband. All the other identities had all of their headbands, and that made me feel so happy. And that either means I'm going to pretend like it wasn't the former, which is that they just didn't have that many, or they had a whole bunch and a whole bunch of people came through and got theirs. But obviously, headbands are really great for tennis. So if you happen to be an ace tennis player,
that's because when you serve it and you though they don't return it, it's just called an ace. So that's why a lot of tennis players are
sports.
Yeah. So come on, sports.
You learn something new every day. Damn.
Like an unreturned serve, Matt. That's an ace.
It's an ace.
Mm-hmm. What a serve. There we go.
Oh, love that. It was a serve.
That's also why they did this. Yeah, serving.
Such a serve.
Wow, tennis is very queer. I never realized.
It's so gay. Tennis is so gay.
I feel like the point about there not being that much ace representation is so true. I was trying to like look online, and I know there's Todd from BoJack Horseman. I think it's probably for me the most notable example. There's ace characters sprinkled. I often feel like sometimes I'll see an article and it'll be like three of them that clearly are ace, and then one they'll be like, we actually don't know, and I'm like oh, that's so annoying. Yeah. Like, what an annoying, that's not real representation if we don't know. I do think it is more, this is not from the books as far as I'm aware, the storyline. And Alice Osman has talked about the show being able to expand on things she just didn't think to do or wanted to do, and just didn't feel like they fit in the graphic novels. And so I do think Isaac's storyline, I feel like everybody who's come on is like, I love Isaac. Isaac's story is great. It's exciting to have another person to represent Ace, and let's keep increasing the number.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Yeah. I was just saying like how nice that would be on Twitter. I'm just like,
I was just going to say, Beth, like, not to put you on the spot, but like, what comes to mind when you think of ace representation in shows? Is it there? Is there anything that you've kind of seen good or bad that pops up?
It's unfortunately mostly bad in that there's really not genuine ace representation. I actually like, I'm pretty sure it was like a Wikipedia article or whatever. And it was like list of like actually openly ace characters. And it starts off, the very first one was a joke on like late night television. And I can't remember which one it was, but it was like, this is before people knew this was like actually a thing. And it was a way to like, be like, oh, this person can't possibly have sex because they're just like so awkward or weird. And what ends up happening a lot of the time is that, to Grace's point, there's a lot of different like BuzzFeed articles or lists that people come together. And they're like, these people are definitely gay, or we're going to canonically as a fan base make ace. I mean, we're definitely going to make them ace here. And it'll be like characters like Sherlock or something.
Do they use fan base, but it's B-A-C-E?
Oh, that'd be so good.
That's pretty good, right?
I would like fan base, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
So, no, that's what I call everybody on my, because I use the fan.
Yes,
on my,
your fan.
Oh my gosh.
I call it the fan. This is my, I also got this awesome.
Clack it.
Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it.
Yeah.
There we go.
Sorry.
The Charmander one.
I love it.
But I feel like what ends up happening is that, because it's not a new identity. I want to be very clear with that. It's not a new identity, right. But I would say that it is newly, over the past definitely decade, something that is more accepted and talked about and known. But I have to imagine for years and years and years, as referenced by so many different stories I see online from ace representation, that there's just really not a lot of people who thought this was a thing, you know, a lot of specifically women who were like, well, it was my job to like get married and have a kid and never really liked it, but I had to do it. And you're seeing like a lot of grandparents hear about this for the first time, or hearing about parents who are like, oh, I never experienced sexual attraction to somebody until I formed a deep connection. And that was different from my friends. And I'm like, yeah, that's called demisexuality. And so this, and remembering too, that ace is just a huge spectrum as well. And so, yeah, unfortunately, a lot of the representation has just either been, let's make it up, or let's find people who don't behave like normal, quote unquote, people in terms of romantic or sexual relationships, and just give them this label rather than having genuine representation. So it's really, really limited. And my hope moving forward is that we see a whole bunch of different kinds of people. I love Isaac, and I think that he's such a precious little baby, and I just like want to hold him and hug him. And I love that he has like a moment of vulnerability where he's a little hostile and angry with his friends because he deserves to be heard. But I also think, unfortunately, even with his storyline, a lot of it's like the person who secludes themselves from their friends by reading books all the time. That's the person who's ace, you know, the person who like doesn't interact with everybody around each other, just like everybody else does. That person is ace. And that person absolutely exists. But there's a lot of people like me and others who are loud and proud and different and not necessarily always have my nose in a book kind of thing. So I'm very happy that we're starting to see the representation. Can't wait to see more in the future.
Go ahead, man.
No, I love that, and just want to shout you out, Beth, for being someone who is on social media like super vocal about being ace, where and demi, and just all of these things within this universe that don't often get talked about, because like, I know I've learned so much. I know so many other people have along the way. But also, you pointed to something that was on my mind, and I'm so glad you said it, which is that there is representation, like having a character that has your identity. But then there's also like the authenticity or nuance there's a spectrum of that in shows where it's like, okay, that person's there, but it doesn't feel like me or like everyone I know, or like to your point, Beth, it tells part of the story, which I think is also a really interesting conversation around identity.
Yeah. Well, one thing the idea of people who had been characterized maybe by fans more than anybody as being ace, I think there's a really interesting comparison there to be made about the type, like from a long time ago of like, I always, did a podcast called Hold Up, where we would look at LGBTQ media from the past and see if it holds up. And I wanted to do an episode one time on like Judy Garland, because I was like, how did this happen that this like straight cis woman is a queer icon. How does that happen, right? It's like Friend of Judy becomes a thing, and it's because people find connection in Judy's story, especially Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, of like leaving this rural, it's literally like black and white, and then going to this like colorful place, and the you know, that experience. Yeah. And it's so, it's, I always feel like that's great that people found it, but it's also sad to me that we do, you did have to like squint your eyes to see queerness in, yeah, in stories in our history, right? And that's what I think for a long time a lot of people were doing with like ace representation, knowing that it is also existed for as long as everything else has existed, but just, you know, doesn't get the same sort of attention. And then the segue to that, I think your point about Isaac and who he is as a character, who is a lovely character, and I say this all the time about queer characters who are some of our like first queer characters on TV and movies, that like they definitely are, you know, even if there's like, there are stereotypes, that is, those are some queer people. It's just not, that's not everybody. That's not every. And so we're like narrowing in. And so I think to this point about like Isaac and who they've picked and what type of character they've chosen to be Ace in the show, I think is also reflective of like Ace identity becoming, acceptable is the wrong word. Like, I think it would have been acceptable to do at the same time that like people coming out as yeah, like, you know, actor, but, it's almost like it's taken a little bit longer. And so it's, you can kind of see the same trajectory that has happened with other identities or trans characters that's happening to like the few that we get in like, you know, Isaac and Todd and whoever else.
I think what's really interesting, and I was thinking about this when I wrapped up the season, season two the other day, and I was thinking a lot, like I tweeted about this a couple weeks ago, and I was saying that being Ace or Arrow or a gender is very different from the other identities because you're identifying as not something that everybody else potentially shares. So whether you're gay or straight or bi or whatever, you find sexual attraction. So even people within our own community like would kind of look at Ace people and be like, I don't understand. I can respect, but I don't understand. Like, you're just different from us. Or hetero people could say the same thing, right? And oftentimes I was thinking like, I think the closest community in terms of how we've been, I don't want to say how we've been treated, okay? Because I think that there's very, very, very different ways that we've been treated. Mm. But in terms of like the invalidation has actually been trans individuals to a certain extent, which is that the first reaction I normally get is, have you made sure that your hormones are correct and that like everything is like medically right with you? Maybe it's a medical issue. And so that form of invalidation that comes through, even if it is a medical thing, like why aren't we respecting that's the identity that somebody is experiencing, right?
Also, those types of responses are the idea that like, you know, any type of like, are you sure? Have you thought about this? It's so ridiculous. Just try to, I feel like, how do we get this into the head of like straight cis people that like, we think about this for so long before we are finally ready to tell you, like, we've thought, like, probably had that, like, maybe I should get a medical exam, you know, or like whatever, you know, like had these and been like, definitely not that. It's this, you know?
Yeah, kind of condescending, very super condescending. But that's, I think that's like step. But yes, Beth, I think that that's the other thing is like the question, because I even relate to that sentiment. And I think, you know, we all probably do, like with bisexuality, where it's like, are you sure? Is this real? And then you're left questioning, like, wait, am I? Like, what is going on here? And, you know, with bisexuality, at least, like, there's so much more of a push where there's less of that erasure, at least talking about bi erasure as a conversation. And I know that that's something that's happening with ace identities, but it needs to happen in a lot more places and spaces for sure.
Definitely.
But I feel it, Ben, in terms of like, I almost like jumped in to say it, that I feel like there is a lot of, in the thing I was saying about the way that ace representation, the more that it becomes like people are aware of it or whatever. I do feel like there are a lot of similarities. And I think bisexuality too, often a thing that I feel like queer, the gay people. And I think mostly like people, like, I want to say like gay men who are mostly just like,
I'll finish the sentence. It's gay.
It's like, we like the rainbow flag. This is what it's for. And then it's like all these other people being like, hey, this is us too. We belong in here. And this has been, I think, my favorite part about doing this podcast as well as the Pride of Spoken series is people reaching out to be like, hey, when you said, like, I'm valid as part of being part of LGBTQIA plus, like, that felt really good. And so, like, I just don't understand the, like, push up, like, you know, I really don't understand, queer people who are being like, so maybe we should get rid of the T? Like, I don't get that at, like, I, it is obviously a different issue, but it's like, so we were talking last week about intersectionality, is that, like, you know, there are ways in which like our challenges are the same and there are ways that they're different. Mm-hmm. And the more we can do to support each other, the better. I do feel like in Heartstopper, this is kind of what we're talking about last week, where I kind of felt like I was the most critical of the show. Part of I love this world that they live in, where like there has not been really a negative response, maybe outside of Nick's brother, and some comments on social media, which does sort of like is wonderful that that's the world that like Heartstopper is. And also like, we don't see, you know, in terms of how realistic it is, Beth, you're talking about like some of the things that people have said to you in terms of when you come out. So I don't, and it's like, I don't know which one I want actually. Cause I want the like lovey dovey. This is amazing. And then there's also ways in which like, it's teaching them how people should respond, but I don't know. It's complicated.
I definitely think that's complicated. And I think that, I think too, what I like the most about the show in terms of identity for the second season is actually the storyline of Mr. Farouk coming out later and having this really touching moment of saying like, I didn't have this like gay teen like renaissance. I'm like, I figured it out later in life and I was kind of, to be quite frank, robbed of these experiences. And I think a lot about how, especially for me, college was so hard with everyone so sexualized around me. I could just not engage in it. And I just didn't know why. And I wanted to be like everybody else. And that's why I wanted to, but not because I actually like found people sexually attractive. I found people physically attractive, or I thought they were cute, but I didn't want to do anything with them. And I think to myself, like, how many people have had that experience? But what I also like, not that it's fully a devil's advocate position, but I do think that there is something to be said about kids now and teenagers now coming out and having a different reception than even we did when we were out. And so I do think that a popular kid coming out who's not mean to people and is seen as one of the nicer popular kids is probably going to have a better reception nowadays than it did in 2006 when I was a senior in high school.
I completely agree.
So on the one hand, I'm like, I love that that's the representation because they are trying to capture what today is like. But on the other hand, like, you know, they hint at a lot of what it's like for other people. You know, you have characters like Ben who are struggling to really figure out their identity because they know that they're going to get bullied to the point that Charlie did. You know, you have, you know, these, I think season three will probably have a lot of Charlie's background of bullying and what that did to him. And, you know, we're starting to see, there's a lot of doors open for season three. We're going to probably see a Mr. Farouk storyline in there. We're probably, I'm hoping we're going to see more of Isaac besides just picking up a book at the end, which by the way, he was reading that book earlier in the season.
Was he?
I was hyper aware because the entire time I was like, when's it happening? When's the ace storyline happening? And then I saw him at like when I believe it's at Nick's house when they're trying to get him to tell Imogen.
Right.
He's the book he's reading. A book. I'm pretty sure if it's not that book, it's another book that says ace on it. Okay, and I was like,
it could have been a tennis book.
It very well. he was learning that. You know, canonically, he is a huge fan of tennis. That's like the two things you know about him. It's about books and tennis. But it does say ace on it. So I kind of feel like he's maybe like this was just like a nice little nod earlier in the season, but then like him actually picking up the book and saying like, oh, I want to see if this is me, identified very strongly with that. But for me, what was great is that he picked up the book and he smiled, and like you could tell he was like, oh, I think that there's answers to my questions here. You know, he's at the art exhibit and you could see him kind of have that that feeling of freedom and everything, which is beautiful, which was absolutely not the experience I had, which was, oh God, I hope I'm not Ace. I'll be so different than everybody else. And being quite fearful about what that meant. Would I have a normal relationship? Would I be in a life that I found fulfilling and meaningful? And so to see characters that are like exploring themselves regardless of whatever their identity is, and then like feel supported or cheerful, I think that's needed. I think we have enough trauma stories when it comes to LGBTQ storylines. And so I think for a show like this, you know, let's let this be at place. That was my long, long rant on this.
No, it's awesome. And I think one thing that, you know, I always appreciate the question of like, what do we want this show to be? And I probably fall on so many different sides of that line of like, you know, what is the show giving us? But I think at the end of the day, like having a show that gives young people or just people in general the tools to like navigate things in the most seamless way possible is kind of at least what I would want, where, you know, yes, there's like the joy and the you could live a normal life. You don't have to be traumatized every step of the way. But at the same time, those things do happen and do come up. And I think that Heartstopper does do a good job of at least not overloading us with the trauma, of course, by any means, far from it. But also, you know, giving us some of this. Beth, you mentioned Ben as an example of like a character who's really going through it in that sense. And so I really am hopeful that season three means like, let's get another, like, let's have at least another Ace character, a more exposure to Ace characters, like in the storyline. We did, I think have a, we did technically have another Ace character in terms of the artist whose name I don't know, which kind of set things in motion a little bit for Isaac seemingly in one of the later scenes. But I mean, I'm always just hope. I'm like so optimistic about this show because it's been so good to us so far. And it is kind of mind blowing that like that we are now talking about an Ace character on the show that we already loved so much. So like let's keep going.
I think too that canonically in the graphic novels, not necessarily the Heartstopper graphic novels, but Charlie's sister is also Arrow Ace, apparently. Oh, cool. So when I was reading a little bit afterwards, so it'll be interesting to see if we have another Arrow Ace character. Now, wow. I say that, but yet another character who likes to be off to the side and not necessarily involved with a lot of other people and such. So again, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm happy. Throw all the Ace characters on. Everyone's Ace. There we go. No, just kidding. That would make for a very, very not so much fun love story, I'm sure. Not saying that Ace people can't fall in love.
Be an interesting love story.
It'd be very interesting. But I do think that it'll be interesting to see, just based off of interviews and such, I think it's Alice. Is that her name? The creator? Yeah, I think that she probably will try to explore a little bit more with Charlie's sister, too.
I would have a hard time thinking that they wouldn't do, especially for Isaac, that Isaac won't get more. This does feel like a show that, you know, I feel like it centers Nick and Charlie and, you know, what they're going through, and then has sort of like is slowly building everything else up. Like Elle and Tao, their relationship doesn't really, there's the butterflies and they sit in the art room in season one, but it's not really until season two that like, okay, now this is their story, right? Of like their romantic involvement. We like Isaac is there in season one, but it's not until season two that anything to do, like I joke, because I have the scene that I always remember is like Tao's wondering whether Charlie likes him, and Charlie lists like all of these things about him. He's like, you're funny, you like old movies, and you are uber protective of your friends. And then I'm like, that's like two more things I know about Isaac, you know. Isaac likes all movie. Right. But I want to see more. And I do, it could, yeah, that's very interesting if Tori
thank you.
Yeah, is Ace as well. I love Tori as a character. I can see that. The immediate like it's very similar to Isaac, but you know, yeah, it's so tough. It's like we only get little like morsels of identity, and so it's like I'll just take it, you know. Sometimes, yeah.
Listen, I'm not going to turn it down. Okay,
that's right.
And you know, I just like with any other representation, right. Obviously, it's representing a portion, and there's still a whole pie out there, right? So I'm just excited for that, and I know that you know this is. I just love even Sasha in like one of the last episodes being like, I'm bisexual actually. And I think that is such a great, I just love that. That is literally, I work with Gen Z all the time. They're in college and that is very much, they're like, yeah, we're all gay. And what, you know? And obviously they're not all gay or they're not all queer.
Well, no.
Whatever. But there is just this level of like, yeah, move over, grandpa. It's just, this is how we are. We have a world where it is safer for us to be how we are. And then it's like, that doesn't have to dictate our entire story. And I just love that. I love that it was just like not made into a big deal. It was just like, I'm bi. And then it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't remember what the Twitter account was. There's one that's like a joke that I really love that it was like a commentary. And I think it's about people who have autism or autistic, and the joke was like an older person being like, nobody was autistic back when I was in school. It's like, no, you had a friend who would only eat toast for lunch and like had to eat like things that it just like wasn't diagnosed. It just wasn't you know, that they didn't know. These things have like been around forever. And so I think the idea of like that Gen Z thing and like what this were, I think for me, when I remember my cousin telling me that when she told all of her, she has five kids, when she told her kids about me being trans, like I had posted on Facebook, and so that was just out, and then but our kids were got a little bit younger, I just said it, and like, oh yeah, but that's just like Susie from school. And so it was like this thing that like the more that people are open and out, and the more you get to know people, like what my mom was like the most afraid of when I came out. My mom has been amazing. The last time I told this story, my mom was like, you didn't make me sound great in the podcast. So I was like, I know, I love you, you're the best. I was just trying to like prove a point. But my mom, her reaction was like fear of the things that like you were talking about earlier, Beth, of like is my life going to be like, once you like it clicks and you're like, uh-oh, this is me, like I hope not, because like what for me it was like being trans, it was like, am I gonna get fired from my job, am I gonna get kicked out of my apartment, am I gonna ever find someone who will want to date me, like all of these things. And
are
so
you gonna just be jumped someday walking down the street?
So I have all those internal thoughts, and then I tell my mom, and interestingly I think between me, like my mom had no idea that I was going to come out as trans like at all, and so now she has all of those same thoughts and is like articulating them in a way that I'm like, this sucks, like can you just like another time, can we do it another time? But at the same time I'm like, yeah, you're now having to like, and it does come from like a fear of not knowing like a lot of queer people who do have partners who didn't like have very successful in their jobs, whatever, like all of these things. And I think the more it becomes normalized in TV, and I think to your point earlier about like you like that this is the world that the show is, and because it in a way it is, it's just like, you know, I'm like going through my trauma of like, imagine I came out in high school, would have been fun if I would have beat up, you know?
Right.
So,
with Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I mean, and I think too, like there's various different kinds of violence, right? That right. goes against all, you know, different identities and such. And I think what will be interesting, and I hope they explore this, and not to make this like the ACE podcast, like obviously there's a whole bunch of different identities there, but I guess I'm just like so excited that I'm like, there's an ACE character. This is what I hope for them.
I
am hopeful that we get to see like some of the trials and tribulations of like what this means, because I'll be honest, like what I love the most about the show is also something that I've sat back and I was like, I wonder if they all talk like adults when they have really hard conversations with each
right.
other. Yeah. And I definitely didn't have the tools to do that.
When they all speak therapy talk, you know,
they do. Yes. Like when he, like when Isaac's sitting down,
Jamie, the boy that he
had a crush on.
James.
When he's sitting down and James is like, it's okay if you don't like me. And he's like, well, I want to like, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, that is not what 17-year-old Beth would have been like. 17-year-old Beth would have been like, what do you mean you don't like me? I'm going to go make a sub-profile away message thing on AIM that's really vague. And But I just, what I'm hoping is that you do get to see some of the trials and tribulations of what it means to be ACE, and like, even like your queer friends not really understanding. Like, even now, like, I have some of my best friends, I will talk to them, and I have a couple of gay guys who are friends of mine, and they will be like, well, have you ever tried just having a hookup? And I'm like, I need you to stop. Like, I know what you're trying to say, because we're in a safe space. Like, I know that, like, you don't mean harm by this or whatever, but it's like, no, I've never tried that because I don't want to. And that should be enough, right? So I hope that there's more of those conversations, not because I want to see spicy Isaac, but I also want to see Isaac kind of come out of his shell a little bit more to his friends and be like, just because y'all have various different relationships that are like literally the main character syndrome doesn't mean that my story isn't as important, or that you can impose the same rules onto me. And I think that's just like a really, that one scene where he walks away from his friends after making that point of like, stop having, now on the one hand, I understand like his friends wouldn't necessarily know, but on the other hand, they're clearly not vested enough into him to understand that's just not how he operates. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I
want to point it to you, which is, I think the opposite of that in the show is that, well, not the opposite. It's actually very much in line with this, but somebody who is like, we joke about Nick being all the time, like, oh, actually, no, I'm bi. But I actually do love how it's almost like, it is like a bit of a running joke, but also it's, I think, very empowering to have a character like every single time someone is like messing up. Like, I know that for me, when like people use the wrong pronouns, I'm too conflict averse to like correct, like, and it depends on the situation. Like, am I going to be like working with you a bunch? Then maybe I'll correct you. If we're not, I'm just going to get my coffee and I'm good. You know, I'm going to scoot out of the store. But I just love how like empowered Nick is all the time to be like, no, I'm not gay. I'm bi.
Right.
Yeah. And even just like having that example, like where he's constantly asserting that rather than like the thing that I know I've done a ton of times, which is just like, okay, I guess it's not a big deal if this person like they just like say I'm gay or like assume I'm gay or like whatever or whatever it might be. Right. Yeah. And I think that, you know, one thing that just jumps out to me that is almost a reaction to everything you just mentioned, Beth, was that, you know, being ACE, but also being trans, and, you know, other identities that are not like a gay person in this queer community, like they're not problems to be fixed. Like, it's not like And I think part of it too that jumps out to me is that when people are so focused on looking at you as a problem to be fixed, they don't see you as an awesome person who's already like living an amazing life, doing amazing things, and able to inspire so many others, but also just like be a human that, you know, that isn't broken or isn't like told that they're broken and hence like on the search for solutions. So there's a lot there, but I do hope that, you know, I really kind of feel like I'm carrying this thing about like, what does in the world of Heartstopper, what does an ace identity look like in terms of a character, because these are all characters that we're talking about. What are the different characteristics? What is a bi person in this case? What's a gay person? And what are all like, what's a trans person in this universe? Or what's the picture that it's painting, assuming that there are people watching who haven't really necessarily been exposed to our identities? And, you know, I guess the best thing that I could want is just like showing people as full people. I don't know if that's too much to ask.
No, but I love the piece about like identities within the LGBTQIA plus like community are not don't need to be fixed. I really love that. Like just as a, you know, a message, a theme, whatever, because I think probably this comes from a little bit of like queer people being having to, I think especially I'm talking about like cis white gay men, and I think like lesbian women. I think like sometimes
there are definitely a lot of like TERF lesbians out there.
Yes. So and I think it's like no, like I the idea that the way that the world didn't work for them, and then they figured it out and like came out and who they are, but not willing to like go further than that and be like maybe like that's not, you know, the you know, patriarchal like heteronormative society we have is like you know, we don't just want another version of that includes queerness. I think there's so many other, like, let's break the gender norm, you know, it's like, you know, not everybody wants to be, you know, in this, like, you know, in a sexual relationship, right? Like there's all of these that I wish just sometimes, like, it's hard to believe why, but I think if you get so entrenched in like thinking that thing is wrong and I'm right, it might be hard to like pull out that this little world you've built also needs to be a little bit wider. And that's not everybody. That is like a small section of people, but I think it's definitely there. And I think just being open to like, yeah, somebody else's queer experience can be different than your queer experience, you know?
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say, like, not to broaden it too much, but I think what you just said, Grace, is true in so many different ways when we look at, you know, any community, but I think of the LGBTQ plus community where you have, you know, people of a variety of races and body types and just interests and ways of living in the world. And when there is like a certain thing that's normalized or popularized or portrayed in media, then that is the thing that's quote unquote normal rather than like all of the diversity that comes with like who
and
they
I can understand the fear of like losing that as well, of like I think that there is like a little bit of I got mine and who cares about you, but there is like I think that fear of like, oh no, if we let trans people in the, you know, if we're like more accepting of trans people, straight people will think we're all weird and we all like, you know, we're all gonna lose our, which is like that'll happen anyway. If they come for trans rights, they're gonna come for gay marriage
they're coming for everything. And I think too, I think, you know, as you were talking, Grace, the phrase that just popped into my head, and I don't know if I read this somewhere or if I'm just like a creative genius and just came up with this.
Probably the latter.
You are.
Probably the latter. I'm sure I read this somewhere. We don't want power. We want to be empowered, right? Yeah. We're not trying to steal, like, how can we influence everybody? Like this idea of like an agenda or something out there.
My favorite quote, and people are going to scream at their buckets. I've heard it a million times.
We can
on every
say
queer
it
podcast.
With me.
You want to say it, Matt? Which is, we don't want to make straight and cis kids gay and trans. We just want queer and trans kids to become adults. That's what we want, right?
There we go.
I mean, I want both. I want all of you straight cis people.
That's right.
Queer. Well, I mean, that's a joke, obviously. But I also think that what we're seeing in this world too, because this was also another key. This is actually a good transition to something I wanted to chat with both of you about, mm-hmm. which is that as queer people, whether you are sexually queer, gender queer, whatever the case might be, mm-hmm. there's a lot of invalidation we put on ourselves,
yeah, true.
Based off of trauma. And I think mm-hmm. that hearing people, like, I can't tell you how many times a day I invalidate myself where I'm like, you're just a straight girl trying to be queer to fit in with your queer friends. And then I'm like, but I really don't want to have sex. or I really just have never had those feelings that other people are talking about. Or I'm like, but that woman is really, really cute and I definitely have a crush on her. Like, mm-hmm. but regardless of all of that, I think, you know, we as humans are meaning makers, right? We have such a sophisticated way of attaching meaning to literally everything so that we can communicate and experience life in a way that no other species on this earth at least does, right? That's not to say that species don't communicate, they don't have means of doing it, but we have such a sophisticated way of doing it mm-hmm. that sometimes it's like this whole idea that like millennials want all the labels and, you know, Gen Z wants to get rid of all the labels and such. And, it, you know, I think it's a little bit of both because what we're finding is that I would say that the person, it goes back to this whole spectrum thing. The person who is absolutely only straight probably doesn't exist, right? And in the same way, the person who's only gay, the person who's like bi in this specific way that, because that doesn't exist. We're all like our labels are to a certain extent fluid, depending on a variety of factors, and kind of, for the most part, say how we are like the majority of the time, right? But it's all very interesting. And I can't wait to see, you know, what shows like Heartstopper, and I know that there are probably way more coming down the pike that are going to be mm-hmm. probably playing with this idea a little bit more, right? We started to see a little bit, especially when it comes to, you know, Nick as a bi man. I can't wait to see, you know, the bi pan community, I'm sure, is like, yeah, I have, you know, this, I love women, but I want to have sex with men. And that's a difference I have, but that doesn't make me less bi than a person who wants to have sex and be in a relationship with people of all genders. Right.
I would love a bi character who's in like a straight seeming relationship.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So complex. Yeah.
Like maybe Sasha. Maybe I know that they were trying to like, I almost feel like they were trying to set up like Imogen and Sasha at the very end. And yeah. I kind of was like,
I do feel like Imogen, there's a line she says that I love, which is like the, this all would have been easier if I was just gay. And Nick and Charlie are like, yeah, probably not. But like, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a character on so many levels. I also just appreciate Beth, like you mentioning the invalidation we put on ourselves because mm-hmm. something that, and I think this might be me totally projecting onto like Gen Z and younger generations. But I also think that this show is doing this a bit where it's not, we don't see the characters allowing sexuality or their sexual orientation in some cases, right? Like we don't see them taking that on necessarily as like their problem. There's a lot of trauma and other things that come up and pop up. But I think there's also this other thing where it's like, yeah, I am bi. I am this thing. And if mm-hmm. you have a problem with that, that's your problem. But I'm, you know, going to live, which is like a very difficult way to move about the world. And I think a lot of us, especially just growing up in the time that we did as total boomers, millennial boomers, is that
like, do not call me a boomer.
But like, I think like the thing is like so often there's that internalization of looking down ourselves or just the holding the pain in here where I just want more of a world where we're able to say, if you are a hateful person, that's your problem. Sure, there might be like some negative things that come up in my life because of the hate that you give, but like that's your problem to right. sort through and figure out. And I think that that's a powerful message for people, just to know that like homophobia, transphobia, like being all these different, you know, hateful things is, well, one, it's not okay, but also that's yeah. that hater's problem.
Well, I'm gonna say this in a way that is like much more like, I feel like as I'm thinking about how to articulate Please. This, I feel like it's much more like, this is gonna sound so way more dramatic than I want it to. But like, you know, if I think about the media that I was, you know, was around, and literally in terms of like whether or not it was legal for queer people to A, be in movies and TV, and then whether or not they could have a happy right. ending, right? Like was literally illegal for a long time. So think about the movies we saw that was so trauma focused. And I think that when you're like queer and trying, and I always talk about this time in your life where you have kind of figured out that you either think you are, or that time you know you are, but you haven't told anybody yet. This like very, it's a very lonely time where you're like, I need to tell someone, but what if I tell someone and then they hate me, and then that's the first time, you know, whatever.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But like on the media that we got, like, why would we think it like is, you know, I think a lot of people talk like, you know, whether or not it's a choice or not, why would I choose it to make actively my life harder? And
because we want attention, Grace. Duh.
Yeah, to be cool. Duh.
And I think now there is like, I have like that belief for me has evolved to where I feel like my view on that is much less like, homophobic, honestly, or like transphobic, in terms of like, why wouldn't I want, like, I've met so many great people. I think that, like, you know, queer parties are fun, pride is fun, you know, like there's way in which like there are amazing things, and which is, I think the show does a really good job of showing, and something that I continue to get excited for is that it, like, it doesn't have to be trauma all the time, that there can be joy in being queer, like mm-hmm. authentic queer joy is absolutely a thing, to get to be who you know you are, and then people love you not in spite of that but because of that, I think is like a mm-hmm. thing that has progressed, but only because I think media and acceptance, you know, and people coming out and showing who they are and being proud of that, we've come a long way to the time when I think about like, there was a time in my life where like, why would I ever want to actually come out? Like, it's too right. It is too scary. There is too much risk to coming out. And that's like, society sucks. That's not like any, it's really, you know, all it boils down to.
Well, you have the, not only what, why would I want to come out because of like all the horrible things, I'm not going to have a happy ending and all these different kinds of things. But then you also look at the things that maybe were more subliminal, where it was like every Disney gay or villain queer coded yeah. in some capacity, right? So it's like, yeah. not only am I going to have a bad ending, I'm also going to be considered literally the villain of society, you know,
laughed like, at, or you know, whatever. Or
yeah, no? Exactly. I'm you know, the, you have like the Jafars of the world,
Ace,
you know,
Ventura, like, that he literally throws up, like, are people going to be like, yeah. literally vomiting at my presence, you know?
Yes.
Of all characters, Ace Ventura, like, come on. Oh, come on. We could have done better.
Hey.
Let's reboot it. Let's reboot it. We'll fix yeah. it. We'll fix
Wait.
It.
Wait.
Such an opportunity.
We have to cast Jim Carrey. We can cast an Ace person to play.
I love this idea. It would be so, so stupid. I mm-hmm. love this. We should, like, anything that has like anything, we have to come up with puns, like characters who already have kind of something that's like punny that we can do, and just like completely rewrite it to have Amazing. That that'd be so good.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh, we're trademarking it. We're starting a media company / production company. The song Bye 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 will just be yeah. bye bye bye,
but, I know. Love
one sorry, I'm gonna veer off the pun.
No, this is important.
Please,
which,
keep going.
One of the things that I really actually is like a really strong identity story in the season is Tao, and I thought that it was interesting that he and this is you know, not really to do with his sexuality. It's much more about like classic romantic whatever. But I thought I do still like the story of him thinking he, you know, he cuts his hair, he takes Elle to a movie he doesn't like. And I know that, like, it's funny because that relationship, like, in a way, like, is queer because Elle is trans, but it's not like it's a heterosexual relationship,
right.
You know, but with like, yeah, Elle being trans. But I did like the story because I feel like that's also like very queer in the I can even find like queerness in the straight the straight relationship in the show, totally. Which is like, yeah, all the things you do. And I remember trying to like really unpack this with my therapist at one point of like trying when I came out, and then you try things publicly, right? Like it's like, okay, we're dressed to work or, you know, whatever. Mm. You try all these things and you're trying to figure out like, what is you and your style based on, you know, for me, it was like, what will make it the most clear to people that I am like, you know, feminine. I'm trying to like be feminine and potentially mm-hmm. get misgendered less, but maybe I don't actually like doing that thing. I'm only doing it because it's like stereotypical, you know, mm-hmm. I think it's like, mm-hmm. That is how I sort of like related to that Tao L storyline of like, boy, it's really tough to like figure that stuff out because we're so like influenced by society.
I think that's such a great point. And it kind of reminds me, I watched a TikTok earlier today where somebody, this was not the TikTok that appeared on my page. It was a duet. So I will, or like a whatever, but the original TikTok was like a gay man complaining. He was like, how come straight women are allowed on Grindr? This is supposed to be for, and like the person was like, trans women exist. Yes. Are straight. So it's like, we've gotten to this point where like, trans women are now being like accepted as like, this is a straight, a heteronormative. I think that there's a difference right. between being hetero and straight, by the way. That's just like within my head, but okay. Where I feel like straight is like not under the LGBTQIA like umbrella at all versus right. like heterosexual, hetero romantic or whatever. It's just like trying to say opposite of, right? So I feel like if you are engaging in a relationship with a trans person that might, and it's the opposite gender, then that's a hetero relationship, but that doesn't make it straight. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
Like, I think, I mean, in terms of the way that we've given power to those different kinds of words. But it's just, it's so interesting to me that like, we're at this point where we have to actually talk about, you know, what is the impact of these different kinds of meanings here and how does that potentially challenge someone like Tao as a character. And I love that there's not at all a storyline where it's him having an identity crisis, which very well would be valid. But it's also like not needed here. He's like, I like Elle and I have grown up together. I really admire her friendship and how beautiful and wonderful of a person she is, and like that's the core of it. And that's what I also liked about it, because I think a lot of the time if we ever see things that are truly a romantic attraction coming together, it's often in a very like, I don't know, straight way. It's like, oh man, we took off her glasses and and we gave her a makeover and like, oh my gosh, now he can see the, like the person underneath, like she's beautiful and he likes her personality, right? Like it's always that kind of storyline, or at least it was when we were growing up. And I really like that we now have like representation of like, hey, a romantic relationship that's not just started through sexual attraction, that's actually kind of rare to find. And for someone like me, I'm like, hey, that's super nice. I only really experienced the romantic side of things. So I loved watching the Tao relationship unfold, an L relationship unfold like that.
It's super interesting because I think that for me, the L and Tao one, it's my favorite relationship in the show. 100%. I love it so much. I love L and I love Tao. I feel like, I think Matt, we've talked about this. Like, I feel like in ways I am L, but I actually feel like I'm way more Tao. The movie watcher. It's like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
He's like supposed to be fun, you know, funny. I feel like
you could be both.
I could be both. I'm, you know, if we ship them, then I'll be both of them. Ooh. But on the other hand, I love the story. And I do,
Tell?
I do in a way love the, yeah, I think they're Tell. Yeah.
Tell.
Yeah.
Ooh.
The other way doesn't work. It's mostly, you're just going to get vowels if you go the other way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
So I think that for me, what's interesting is that I do feel a semblance, and I think I talk about this every episode, but we had Todd on Pride Is Spoken. He talked about how he loved seeing trans characters who, like, it wasn't acknowledged that they're really trans. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that is so inauthentic to, for me personally, my life.
Yeah.
There are people who, you know, maybe are more stealth and are not out, and so their life is, like, much more, like it doesn't come up or whatever, but I feel like, you know, it seems strange to me that it would, and not in a way that's like Tao has to be worried about it
right.
Like, again, this is where they can like play into like, there can be trans joy and you can actually like, yeah, talk about it in a way that doesn't have to be upsetting or be the conflict. It doesn't have to be conflict in the relationship. It just has to be, it just is the reality.
There can be acceptance there. Like verbally, like showcase that acceptance of him being like, you know, I think you being trans is one of the most beautiful things about you. Just something like that. That's just like, I'm acknowledging this as a part of the storyline. And, you know, I just think that that would be so beautiful. And I hope that we get to see something like that in season three.
Same.
That was so beautiful, by the way. Like, just, oh my gosh. Yeah, like, you, invalidating those things is some of the most beautiful, like, those aspects of your identity as the most beautiful aspects of your identity to someone else.
Yeah.
I don't know. That just, like, brought a tear to my eye.
I really, you know, if I ever am so lucky someday to find somebody who tells me, like, A, your asexuality or your demisexuality is just a part of the piece of the pie that I just love about you because of these things or whatever. Marry me. Here we go. Right. Yeah. Or whatever the case might be. Like, I think that if you're going to enter a relationship with somebody, inherently all of their identities are things that are part of them and therefore a part of your relationship with them. Right. So I, you know, this is your sign today to tell your partner if you have one.
And Beth,
hey, I love it.
I was going to say, if you just start getting a lot of DMs like that, it's, I'm assuming because of this conversation.
Thanks.
No, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Anything else? I wanted to highlight that one, but is there anything else that we didn't hit in terms of maybe Heartstopper specific storylines that revolve around it? I did love Mr. Farouk's thing. I definitely hope we get more of that. I think you touched on it. I think I've touched on it before, but that idea of like, yeah, being robbed of like those experiences that straight cis people get to have, that queer and trans people, you lose out on getting to go to prom, right? Like with the person you want to go with, or whatever that experience looks like for you to I think is something. I love the idea that there's a lot of like a lot of LGBTQ centers around will do like queer prom, and you get to like redo prom is really fun. I know lots
I
of
love
people
that
moved on. But yeah, that's only has to exist because like it's really hard to come out when you're in high school, so then you don't get like queer people have not had those experiences.
Cut to Ace Beth going to prom with all of her friends who had crushes on her and being like,
no,
this is like uncomfortable because I don't feel the same way.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Where's that representation? Hi, I'm in love with you and I want to move things along. I don't feel like that. Like, not just about you, just like a general.
I feel like Isaac had a little bit of that.
That's true. Yeah.
Some Nick and Imogen stuff too, right? I guess.
Like, well,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Imogen could be like her own podcast because
I am obsessed because she is like every girl I went to high school with. It's just like, oh, okay, this week I have a crush on so-and-so.
Right, right.
This week my stock goes up because I'm in a relationship with this person or whatever, you know?
Yeah. That. Yeah,
but also she's not a dick, so I also like that.
No,
and, I love that moment when Nick comes out and she's just like, I don't know if I'm doing this right. And he's like, you're doing great. I love it so much.
I love how quick that was.
Yeah,
I will say it'll be really interesting too with Imogen to see how things might evolve in terms of her own exploration of her sexual orientation. Like, there were some hints, I believe, in the season finale at the formal prom thing, with some of the effects and the person playing the guitar.
That was Sasha, I thought, right?
Sasha, yeah, on stage. It's been multiple weeks.
Oh, come on. You didn't just finish this 2 days ago in preparation for this podcast, Matt? Come on.
I can't say I have, but I just like that we're getting the evolution and the journey, and like, not everyone, like, maybe Imogen's story is one of figuring it out step by step, which, like, we all have a right to figure things out.
I also think, like, I'm totally okay if Imogen's storyline is like, oh, maybe, and then is like, but I'm actually mostly straight, like, ooh, because I think that like, I think that, again, to the point earlier that we talked about, you know, a queer agenda, like, it's not that, it's just letting people, and the only way to like you know, figure it out. What if you go your whole life and you're like, you don't want to figure it out, and then you figure it out way late? Like, that sucks, right? So letting even straight people figure out if they're straight, I think also, you know, and if you know that when you're 8, great. And if you don't, that's okay too, you know?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think, like, again, like, I can't not talk about, like, bisexuality or pansexuality. Like, it's not like you have an equal, not always have an equal right. level of attraction on all different levels with different genders. You very well could be like, oh, I had this one time where I had a crush on a girl, or I slept with a girl or whatever, but it's not something I'm really into. But knowing that about myself, I still think, like, you could absolutely, dependent on what you were most comfortable with, you could say I'm gay or I'm not gay, sorry, I'm straight or I'm bi or whatever. Like, all of that is legitimate and valid. And it's all about how you as an individual feel most comfortable going through this world. And then it's up to the rest of us to respect it. And that's it.
Yeah.
Good yeah. point. I mean, like, and that just makes me think, like, you don't need to fit into anyone's box, anyone's categorization of what you need to be. Like, I was going to say the box needs to fit you, but I don't think that's even the
joke about a magician's assistant is the only one who's going to box. Even then, the box doesn't really fit them. Their head sticks out and their feet stick out. So
I know.
Spoilers.
Yeah. And they get cut in half.
Yeah, they do get cut in half.
Or they get like swords stuck in them. You're like, ah! Yeah. Like, no.
It's a rough life.
It is. Did you want to finish with that? I mean to interrupt by making a stupid.
Was there a finished thought? I don't think there's a finished thought there.
I don't need to fit in anybody's box. That was the finished thought.
Yeah,
well, this was lovely. I think this was. I know. I don't know if people will be upset about how little we talked about Heartstopper.
Sorry.
I mean, we did. No, I think it's totally okay. This is what the show created, this conversation. So I actually think it's lovely, and I hope people enjoyed it as well. Beth, thanks so much for coming on and chatting with us.
Yes, thank you so much. Any opportunity to come on and talk about queer stuff is always fun, and to talk about it through the lens of a show like this that I think is really important, not just for, you know, today's youth, but also for those of us who maybe need a little bit more inner child healing or just want to see representation. I think it's beautiful. And so I can't wait to see what season 3 has to offer. Hopefully not too far away, but like you said, with the strikes, probably farther away than we'd like.
It's bad. I mean, I completely love the people that are striking. You should strike until you get what you want. Also, those kids start aging. We're going to have Stranger Things on our hands. So if this is mostly the studios that need to end the strike by paying the writers and actors, or your Heartstopper cast is going to look like they're 40. So
I mean, there's AI. Come on.
Yeah. There's CGI.
Yeah.
Listen, if they can make Renesmee 15 years ago from like the Twilight series look so complete, I mean, that I couldn't even tell it was CGI.
There you go.
Yeah. Just kidding. I mean, I was going to say, I'm fine with AI as long as they're real actors who are being paid and compensated and treated fairly and not having their images stolen.
Their
images
stolen.
Thank you, Grace.
Wow. Matt, this is it. I mean, do you want to say, before we do plugs, do you want to wrap any? This is the end of our Heartstopper season 2 coverage. Of course, we'll be back when season 3 drops on Netflix, but.
Yeah, I just want to say, I mean, especially with like reflecting on this conversation, it's just really awesome getting to podcast about this stuff, talk about all this stuff, have these conversations, but also to like look at each of you, Grace. I mean, through all the many podcasts we've been able to do that, Beth, like to even just be here where you're talking about ace identities, like and like representing that without it being like, oh, what? Like, what's happening? Like, what are we doing? Like, what? Oh, this is confusing. Like the 101. I think it's just nice that this could be a place where we could have conversations and get each other or learn from each other. And yeah, I wish there were more places like that, but I think we're getting there.
Yeah. Hopefully. Well, we did our best for a few weeks of podcasting. We're on Twitter or X. We're on the PSR Discord. So welcome to continue chatting with us. Email, I think Grace at Post Show Recaps work if you have more feedback. It's been so great. People have messaged that they're listening. Appreciate you coming on, Beth. And we obviously had Gia and Ariel join us as well. And I appreciate everybody who's been so candid about, you know, their own identities and you know, their queer identities and chatting about the show. So it's been lovely. Beth, in the meantime, where can people find you? What else could they check out?
Yeah, you can find me on all my social media at AugustaWind11. I'm also trying to stream more again on my Twitch channel. So if you're interested, especially in like Pokemon and Goose Goose Duck stuff, feel free to pop on by twitch.tv/AugustaWind11. You can catch me on My Weekly Meltdown chatting a little bit about Big Brother every week and Survivor when that starts. And I'm going to be actually joining Taryn for my first time doing some live feed updates, Ooh. Which will be a lot of fun on Tuesday the 29th. So if you're interested in Big Brother and want to check that out there, you could do so. But that's pretty much what I'm doing right now.
Awesome. What about you, Matt?
Wow. Well, you could find me at MattScottGW on all the socials. And just want to shout out anyone and everyone who's like just reached out with their love and appreciation of this podcast, but also of The Pride Has Spoken, other queer conversations here. I think Pod Friends is also, I just think of the conversations we've had, each of us, mm-hmm. Grace and Beth, where just so thankful for like all the people who could see themselves and not feel alone and feel represented. So you could find me there on social media, MattScottGW. But the Wrestling Wrap Up over on RHAP, I mentioned Pod Friends, I mentioned The Pride Has Spoken, which those two both feature really evergreen conversations, one with people in the Rob as a Podcast community, one with former Survivor players, maybe even some future Survivor players. Ooh. And also just want to shout out yesterday, I'll say Sunday, August 27th, I was on the Big Brother recap with Taryn, with Lavina, with Rob. Very fun episode talking about Big Brother. So you could catch me there, here and there, over the next several weeks as Big Brother keeps going on. But Grace, cool. Where could the people find you?
Yeah, here on Post Show Recaps and talking. We wrapped up our Dark rewatch coverage, and now we're watching some time travel movies. So that's been a lot of fun, covering Foundation, Heels with Stan C, movies each week with Ariel, The After Party, What We Do in the Shadows, and Winning Time. So you can catch all that coverage here on Post Show Recaps. You can follow me on socials at Hi From Grace or Go For Grace. It's taken us the very last episode, Matt. I believe week. You said something, and I believe I have been cutting you off by accident because I didn't know you were trying to do this, which
and
is
I,
every week
I hesitated.
Every week I say thanks for listening, bye, and Matt has jumped in and he just says the word sexual, which I didn't realize he is saying bisexual. I didn't realize it just sounds like he's yelling sexual because I'm so in my head about closing the podcast. So for the final Heartstopper podcast,
okay, I'm ready.
I want to really nail this. So
okay, I'm ready.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for listening.
Wait, Grace, do I say bisexual or just sexual?
No, I think you just say, because the joke is that I'm going to say.
Okay, wait. Yeah. Okay.
So
okay,
like, thanks everybody for listening. This was so great. Until next time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Sexual.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.